Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Learning Minds podcast, the official podcast of Khyber Medical College, Peshawar. I am your host, Ahmed Abdullah, a member of class of 2028. Join me as we dive into the world of medical innovation, uncover insights from leading experts, and explore the inspiring journey of those shaping the future of healthcare and research. Today, we are honored by someone who has not only made significant contributions to the field of medicine, but has also established himself as a successful entrepreneur in healthcare. Professor Dr. Intikhab Alam is a highly respected internal medicine specialist, general physician. He is an MBBS gold medalist and holds an FCPS in medicine. Beyond his medical expertise, he has demonstrated medical excellence with business leadership to improve patient care. Dr. Alam, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine.
Before diving into your journey, could you share with our listeners where you're currently practicing and what a typical day looks like for you in the clinic?
Well, actually, my maternal grandfather, you must have heard his name, Dr. Isar Ahmed. He was actually the first cousin of my grandmother. So in that sense, he is my grandfather. He was a doctor, you know, he was a medical doctor, but at the same time, he was a very, very famous Mubaligh-e-Quran. Once I got ill in my childhood and mother took me to him, I had probably, he was diagnosed as enteric fever. So when he was managing me, I was really inspired by his affectionate behavior and, you know, the way he was treating me. And from that day onward, I decided in my heart that inshallah, I will become a doctor. So he is my beacon of my, you know, my career. From which I began, and alhamdulillah, I followed his path.
That is amazing. Great to hear that. So let's move on to your early career. And, you know, every doctor has a story behind what drew them to medicine. We just heard that. But what was that special moment or experience in life that made you pursue internal medicine?
Well, actually, as I told you, it was my grandfather, Dr. Israr Ahmed, whom I really followed. You know, when you think of serving humanity, there are, you know, in every profession, you can serve humanity. It's not that only doctors can serve humanity. Like even engineers, they're serving humanity. If you're a businessman, you're serving humanity. But I consider the medical profession as a very special profession. Because as a Muslim, I have this firm belief that if you treat your patient with a good intention, agar aapki niyat achhi hai. Yes. So you are earning both this world and akhirah. You will get the ajr for that. Okay. Having said that, as I told you, that every profession, if that is done according to ahkamat of Allah, as Allah Ta'ala has ordained in Quran, every profession becomes an ibadah. But I think medical profession holds a special, place in all the professions, because you know, the patients are like, you know, angels. And if you treat them and they, you get a lot of prayers from them, I think there are very less professions where people pray for the person who are giving them the services. But it's only the doctors who get a lot of prayers from the patients. And that is, you know, when I realized this fact, that drove me to become a doctor.
Absolutely. So that is amazing. So talking about your experience, you've worked both in LRH and KTH for a long time. And after serving for so long, what led you to a transition to private practice?
Well, you know, I consider KTH as my parent institute. Since 1984, when I was third year student, I started going to KTH and I developed that bonding between me and KTH. And then I did my house job over there. Then I did my residency for FCPS Part 2 over there. And I became SR over there. So right from 1984 till 1995, I was connected with KTH and really loved that institution. And not only because that gave me a lot, what I am today is because I was groomed at KTH. The people who were there, right from top to bottom, I really love all of them because they respected me. They loved me as much as I do love them. And because that is my parent institute, I learned everything from there. So that is my prime institution. Secondly, when I was elevated to the post of assistant professor in August 1995 through Public Service Commission, so I had reluctantly come to LRH. I never wanted to leave KTH. Anyway, then my future career till my retirement, I spent that in LRH. It will be a strange thing to tell you that probably I'm the only doctor who did not spend even a single minute outside KTH and LRH.
Okay, that is very unique to hear.
Though I was the best graduate and gold medalist, and by virtue of that, I received a provincial scholarship. But alhamdulillah, I did my FCPS part one within 6 months of my house job. And in those days, FCPS was 2 years residency, and I did my full fellowship within 2.5 years. I was in November 91, I was FCPS medicine full. Within 3-4 years of doing my house job, I completed my that. So then very rapidly, I, alhamdulillah, got the post of senior star, then AP and then FCA. I didn't need to go abroad. Although I had my scholarship, I had all the opportunities to go abroad. But Allah Ta'ala had given me everything which was the dream of a doctor. People go abroad to get MRCP, FCPS, FLCS done, to come back and avail these posts and the professorial and teaching posts, which Allah Ta'ala gave me sitting in Pakistan. So that's why I didn't go abroad. Alhamdulillah, all my grooming, my teaching, my training, whatever I am today, is because of the training which I got in QTH and LRH.
Brilliant, sir. Your words are like, I think they're very important for medical students today. You mentioned that you graduated as a gold medalist, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the secret to this remarkable achievement? How did you achieve this?
Well, your persistence and perseverance. Where I tell my all students, you see, you have to remain in touch with your books. And, you know, when you are a doctor, when you are in third year MBBS, your patients become your books. You learn from your patients. They are your, you know, the source of learning apart from books. So, you know, it is patience, it is perseverance and persistence. I advise my all the students, and I used to practice that. You must read 1 hour daily. And I tell my TMOs, okay, whatever patient you have, you read your patient on daily basis. So that is one way. And you know, alhamdulillah, there's something, you know, called intellect. When you are brilliant, your mind, Allah Ta'ala had gifted me with a brilliant mind. And that is thanks to him, because that is something you're born with. And so if you are intelligent, if you're brilliant, if you're sharp, at the same time, if you are a little bit hardworking, I mean, that makes the trick. You know, that is the trick in it.
That I think that is the recipe for that. So thinking about your student days, how does practicing medicine in real life compare to what you had expected in your student life? Like, what's the comparison between then and now?
You see, first I would like to answer one question you asked about the private practice.
Yes.
You know, I would not be hesitate to say that private practice is the bread and butter of a doctor.
Yes. Of course.
That is a reality, and everybody has to accept that. You can serve humanity in your hospital as well as in your clinic.
Yes.
I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed of that you are doing private practice.
Absolutely.
Because that is the bread and butter of yours. You have to maintain your standard of life. But, you know, both are the different ball games. In the hospital, you are being paid by the government, and you are doing that becomes a service because the pay, the salary you receive is not the dividend which you are doing that. Teaching and training doctors and treating patients, running OPDs and doing surgeries, you know, you do a lot of things for very petty salary as compared to if you compare that in USA and Britain. Doctors there are very heftily paid. But here, but alhamdulillah, we being Muslims, we consider it as a kajariya. In private practice, you know, you are all alone. In OPD, you have got a team of doctors with you. But here you are all alone, and you are the only person who are running the clinic. So you have to be number one competent enough to start your clinic. And then, you know, it is said medicine is an art. But running a clinic is a double art.
Absolutely.
Because it is not only your knowledge, your skill, which is important, but it's also your behavior, your attitude, and you know, the respect you give to your patient, to their attendant, which attracts patient. You know, when you treat a patient well, every human being demands respect, whatever position they are, very extremely poor guy or a president of a state, they would demand respect. And you know, in Quran Sharif, Allah Pak said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah Pak says that indeed, verily, He has given respect to Bani Adam. So I have this thing in my mind. Everybody demands respect and should be given. That is their haq, their right. So if you treat your patient well, talk to them softly with affectionate attitude. So, you know, I have this belief that 50 or even more than that, 50% of the time, you inculcate shifa in the drugs by your attitude, by your behavior with your patient. Yes. You know, if the patient starts liking you, they start believing in you. When they start believing in you, the drug you give, Allah Ta'ala puts shifa in that.
Brilliant. That is,
Having said that, money should not be the object.
Primary object.
You know, it's a primary object, right? Money is the byproduct of your service anyway. Nobody will come and get himself be treated free. People will put your fee in your pocket. They will say, no, Dr. Saab, this is your right. So that will come along. Don't, you know, be greedy about that. Primary object should be service of the humanity. And as a byproduct, Allah Ta'ala is giving you money as well. That is your right. But make it halal by doing justice with the patient. That's my.
Sir, you just mentioned that you run both a business and you're also a physician. So it can be challenging working like this. And with long hours and demands, which often lead to burnout, how do you manage stress while ensuring your patients receive the best care?
Business, you know, running a hospital is a business. Running a clinic is a business. So I have now, for example, you're sitting in this setup. I have got all the diagnostic facilities under one roof. I've got pharmacy with me. And I've got a staff of 42 people who are helping me in running the whole setup. So in that way, I am also catering 42 families who are employed with me. And secondly, you know, the business model is that in the start, we used to sit in a medical center and laboratories would be somebody else's laboratory, somebody else's pharmacy and everything, and they would get the profit for that. Then later on, about 5-6 years ago, it came into my mind. And now, you know, everybody is practicing on that principle that the profit we used to give to pharmacy or to laboratory or any other, why not? If you invest in that area, like you have your own pharmacy and you start purchasing drugs from the company directly, so the profit which other people are getting, why not? You should get it. It is a halal business. You know, in medicine, another thing. Whatever we write, any drug to the patient, we are accountable for that both in this dunya and in akhirah. Even half tablet of Disprin, we are accountable. Okay, why did you prescribe this Disprin tablet to this particular patient? Number one, any drug you are writing should be indicated. Number two, you should not be telling anything wrong to the patient regarding prognosis, diagnosis, and you know anything. You should not, you know, the primary job of a physician is to give comfort to the patient.
Absolutely.
At least tell them the right diagnosis and satisfy and give them hope that I'm giving you this these medications. Take them and Allah will give you shifa. So doctor's business, I think if they want to remain in their field, I think running a hospital is a very successful business. In other, you know, you can enter any other field. But I think if you can, like, and I've just given an example that I have employed 42 people, and there are 3 doctors with me, and there are pharmacists with me, and there are laboratory technicians with me. So all of them, I've given them the opportunity. And what is the job of an entrepreneur? They provide job facilities to other people as well, apart from earning for themselves. So I think this is, advise my house officers, used to when I'm now retired, that if you, a doctor should never be jobless. You cannot be jobless. Okay. If you have got something with you, an ability to treat, just grab a stethoscope, a desk and a chair and sit somewhere. Start running your clinic.
Practice anywhere.
Right? If I give the example, if a dispenser can run a very busy clinic in village, why not you? But don't indulge in malpractice. Yep. Right? That is the main thing. Intentions should be right. Aapki niyat achhi honi chahiye. Right? Or get the niyat should be to give relief to the patient. Interestingly, more than 99% of the diseases are incurable. If you realize, only a few infections are curable. The rest of the medicines, we don't know actually the reason, the cause, the etiology of those diseases. And neither, unless you know the etiology, it's not curable. You name any disease and tell me, is it curable? It's not.
It's not.
So, it's unique. Once you, it's primary purpose of a doctor is to make correct diagnosis. Once you make a correct diagnosis, then the patient is on the right path of management, not cure. Cure, ek hadith hai, ki Allah Ta'ala ne jitni bimariyan utari hai, uske saath Allah Ta'ala ki unka shifa bhi utari hai. Siwai ek maraz ki hoye budhapa. I usually tell these ideas to my elderly people who come here to become jawan, which is of course not possible. I tell them, not jokingly, that is true. I mean, you have to accept your age, the diseases associated with geriatric age group. So I tell them this thing. So that's it.
Okay. So, my question again, how do you manage stress in this environment by ensuring that your patients receive the best care?
Well, number one, let me tell you, I'm very not fond of sleep at all. Meri 5-6 ghante ki sleep hoti hai.
Okay.
So remaining 18 hours, I'm awake and working.
All right.
I, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't get tired.
Okay.
Even if I see, I used to take 3-4 hours round in my hospital when I was working there as a professor. And my team would get tired and would sit and go and take a little rest. Alhamdulillah, I would never get. It's your habit. Right? And secondly, your fitness is very important.
Very important.
If you want to pursue your goals and you want to achieve your goals and you want to do some work, you have to be fit, both mentally and physically. And I think being a doctor, physical fitness is mandatory.
Mandatory. Absolutely.
If you are yourself ill, how are you going to run your busy clinic? If you are a surgeon, how are you going to stand for 3-4 hours and perform surgeries? For anything, if you're a cardiologist, how are you going to stand and perform angiographies and electrophysiological studies? Everything demands physical hard work, apart from your mental attitude and mental ability, but you should be able to cope with that. So alhamdulillah, right from the beginning, I was a hard worker, I was a sportsman, so I was fit. Alhamdulillah, my weight is maintained, and that is. It is your motivation to do something which doesn't make you get tired. You know, there's a quote, if you adopt a job which you love, you don't have to work for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Because the job which you love is not a burden on you. You're doing it with love. And anything which you love doesn't get you tired.
Passion is not making
it. Passion is the passion drives you.
Okay. So speaking about sports, sir, what are your thoughts on co-curricular activities and sports for students like me? What do you think? Are they important or are they not?
Extremely important. I've written a book which is not published on rearing of child, Halate Hazara, Digital Door Mein Bachon Ki Tarbiyat Kaise Ki Jaye. It's still unpublished yet, but it is lying in my laptop, complete book. In that, I've written a full chapter on the association between physical activity and your higher mental functions. It is said that in children, let them play around, let them jump, let them climb trees, let them climb stairs. And why? Because it develops their brain. Being a doctor, you must be knowing that you're quite a big chunk of our brain is associated with our movements, the control of movements, initiating movements, the balancing the movements, the basal ganglia, the prefrontal cortex, the cerebellum. You know, there is a big chunk of, I think 40% of your brain is associated with movement.
Movement, definitely.
So movement harnesses your higher mental functions. So let your children play. Similarly, right from your childhood, if you're active, you somehow become brilliant as well. Your intellect develops, you become more intelligent. And you must have seen that intelligent children, they are very active. The dull children who are not very active don't develop that higher mental function, and their cognitive abilities are not that much. So alhamdulillah, I was a sportsman right from the beginning. I used to play street cricket when I was a child. And teen ghante garmiyon ke andar hum khelte the, aur rang bhi hamara kala hua hota tha, to but we didn't mind that. And I was the captain of my school cricket team. Then when I went, entered in FSC, I started playing table tennis. Okay. And I practiced that much, I was included in my college table tennis team. And I represented my college in intercollegiate tournament. Then in, I'm a very avid racket player. I love playing badminton. Alhamdulillah, nowadays I play badminton and I play singles.
Okay.
3-4 games, alhamdulillah, I can still play. And I'm a very good player of table tennis, and I can challenge you any, and even your classmates, any one of you can play a table tennis match with me. So that's how I think sports activity, it keeps you fit, it keeps your weight under control. And as I just said, in any age group, activity will harness your higher mental function.
Okay. Sir, you must have more fit than me, to be honest. Speaking of your hobbies, sir, what are your hobbies generally nowadays, except sports and all that?
Yeah, apart from book reading, I'm a very avid book reader. I pick up any book which is available and I start reading that. On any subject, apart from being a doctor, of course, medical topics are my favorite. But I, even accounts, if somebody, some book is lying on accounts, I would read that. So reading is my one big hobby. Second is writing books. I think, you know, books have a very special place in transferring knowledge. Nowadays, the social media has become a primary tool of transferring knowledge. But you know, what will happen if, for example, internet is not available?
Yes.
For example, electricity is not there. For example, you are at a place, a remote place where their internet facility is not there. How will you get knowledge over there? Books.
Books, exactly.
Books are the only companion which you can carry them anywhere. You don't need electricity, you don't need the digital gadgets, but you can, you know, can benefit from them. They are your companion. So I resorted to writing books rather than going for making videos. I have made a couple of videos as well, 5-6 videos, about 2-3 years ago. They're still on the, and I've got 2,000 followers as well. But I'm very passionate about writing books. I have written 7 books, alhamdulillah.
I just saw them for their amazing books.
Yeah, 7 books and sports still.
Sports,
I play 1 hour daily table tennis. I go to gym and Peshawar club and play badminton over there. And I made a place on the rooftop where I do wall tennis and wall squash. So I keep myself active. Oh. And of course, yes, another thing, Quran.
Quran.
I've written 2 books on Quran and Hadith only. One of them is Hasul Taqwa Fil Akhirat. Yeah, this is the book. And in this book, I have all the ayah which are related to taqwa. the fazilat of being muttaqi, and Allah Ta'ala, how will Allah Ta'ala will reward muttaqin. And secondly, in this book I've written about tazkiyah nafs, regarding nafs and ruh. What is the difference between ruh and nafs? You know, it's a big debate going on. Still there is no.
Yes.
And a full chapter on taqdeer. Mm-hmm. What is taqdeer? And ismi azam and dua. So these are, in this book it is contained. Apart from that, I have written books pertaining to medical field in Urdu for awareness of general public, so that they should be able to read. And I try to make it palatable for general public to adjust, to absorb. Because, you know, converting jargon of very complicated medical terminology into Urdu is extremely difficult. But I have done that, alhamdulillah, and my books have, mashallah, received a lot of appreciation from the public.
Brilliant, sir. Now, moving on, sir, I want to discuss the emerging trends in medicine, especially AI, telemedicine, and digital health.
Mm.
How are these changing medicine for you and for, in general, doctors around you?
I think they will be helping, but they will not, displace the human factors. In my initial talk, I just talked to you regarding the attitude, the empathetic and sympathetic behavior, the human touch.
Human touch.
You know, you cannot take away the human touch from medicine. And any other, the computers and AI may replace people, but I don't think they will replace doctors. Because if it was that easy, then it will be very easy for everybody, because you just feed your symptoms to AI and they will give you the diagnosis and the treatment. That's it. But it's not that simple, you know, because the drug-drug interaction and, you know, for with each patient is a different person. And every doctor, a good doctor, manages that accordingly. That is, we call it tailor-made prescription. So I don't think the human factor can be replaced by AI. I mean, unless they become sentient themselves, you know, there are fears. Okay, if AI becomes sentient, then that is the end of the humanity. Because that is the only difference between artificial intelligence and human being. We are conscious, we have got emotions, we have got empathy and sympathy. And that is lacking in AI at the moment. But, you know, in Google, one engineer left the job because he thought that the AI is getting sentient. So, Allah forbid, if that happens, that will be the end of the humanity.
That will be the end of the world. Moving on, sir, what is your advice to the people, someone like me who wants to pursue medicine in the future, and someone who is interested in the field? What skills should someone like me acquire if I want to be the best in the field, just like you are, like you're one of the best in the field? How could I be?
Well, in my talk, in between the lines, I have said all those things. Number one, the love for your profession. You must indulge into it, dive into your profession with your full heart. If you are here to earn money, so my brother, there are a lot of other avenues where you can earn money, then medical profession is not for you, right? So you must develop the love for this profession. Number two, intention. Your niyat. Right? Should be very clear. Should be very clear, because Allah Ta'ala knows your niyat. Right? Alimun bi zati sudur hai wo. He knows with what intention you are coming. You can bluff people, you cannot bluff Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Number three, dedication. Because every profession needs dedication, hard work, intelligence. But I think medical profession is more, because it's ever-changing, number one. You have to be abreast with the knowledge. So you have to be hardworking. A doctor remains a student till they die.
Yep.
So you should be ready to be reading and to be improving yourself for the rest of your life. Achieving a degree is not the end of your career, that you now, I will earn money and that's it. No, you have to remain connected with the knowledge. We call it continuous medical education, continuous professional development. CME and CPD, they are part and parcel of a doctor's life. You should be able to remain attached to. You should be ready for that.
All right.
Number three, your altruism, وہ کہتے ہیں نا کہ خلوص دل کے ساتھ خدمت کرنا, خلوص کے ساتھ. اینڈ یو نو آئی ٹیک اٹ ان پرسپیکٹو فار آخرہ. الحمد للہ سنس آئی ہیو ریڈ تفسیر آف قرآن مائی پرسپیکٹو آف دس ورلڈ ہیز کمپلیٹلی چینج. وہ کہتے ہیں نا کہ اس دنیا کی حقیقت اللہ تعالیٰ کے سامنے ایک مچھر کے پر کی جتنی بھی نہیں ہے. تو ایک انسان کے لیے بھی ونس دے ریڈ قرآن, ونس دے ریڈ ترجمہ تفسیر, دی دنیا دس ورلڈ بیکمز ایکسٹریملی یو نو نیگلیجبل فار یو اینڈ یور آل دی ایکشنز آر فار دا آخرہ. یو بیکم فار دا آخرہ اینڈ اف دیٹ از فار دا آخرہ یو ول بی ہمبل, یو ول بی افیکشنیٹ, یو ول بی کیئرنگ, یو ول بی ریسپیکٹفل. If you are lacking these four qualities, you are not a good doctor. Right? So my advice to my younger colleagues would be to develop these four attitudes in yourself. And as I told you initially, money is a byproduct of any service. So if you are providing service, everybody knows, the community knows, the doctors are to be paid. So they will get your fee, whatsoever. But don't be, you know, to... ظلم, آئی وڈ سے ظلم مینس کہ اپنی بہت زیادہ فیس نہ رکھیں. ٹھیک ہے. نمبر ٹو, اف یو کنسیڈر کہ ایک پیشنٹ افورڈنگ نہیں ہے, اس کو فیس نہ لیں, قیامت نہیں آ جائے گی اگر آپ پانچ چھ مریضوں سے فیس نہ لیں. رائٹ. اف سمبڈی سے کہ میں پور ہوں, اس کو ہاف فیس واپس کر دیں. اگر کوئی ویڈو ہے اس کو فری دیکھ لیں, ہاف فیس واپس کر دیں. اچھا, ایک اور ون اندر بینیفٹ آف مائی اون سیٹ اپ بیس کہ اٹس اپ ٹو می کہ میں فلانے کو دوائیاں مفت دے دوں, اپنے کھاتے سے دے دوں, فلانے کا میں کوئی ٹیسٹ فری کرا لوں. رائٹ. وٹ دیٹ از ان مائی ہینڈ. سو آئی ڈو دیٹ الحمد للہ. سو دیز آر دی یو نو دی کوالٹیز آف ا گڈ ڈاکٹر. اٹ شوڈ بی ہمبل, نمبر ون. نمبر ٹو, الٹرویزم, خلوص کے ساتھ خدمت بغیر کسی لالچ کے, دیٹ از کال الٹرویزم. اینڈ ایمپتھی, یو شوڈ بی ایبل ٹو فیل دا پین آف ادر پیپل. You know, sympathy is when you say, okay, oh, I'm sorry you are suffering. But you should be in their shoes. I mean, these are the qualities of a good doctor. If you have all these qualities, Allah will give you shifa in your hands and Allah will give you shifa in your eyes as well. The moment you touch the patient will feel better, inshallah.
Inshallah. Dr. Alam, it has been truly enlightening to hear about your journey, insights and experiences. Before we wrap up, is there any final piece of advice you would like to share with the doctors, entrepreneurs, or people who are just trying to live healthier lives? Any advice for them?
Well, to sum up, I think we, every human being in this world, Allah Pak has said, well, katana khairun nas wa man yanfa'un nas. The good amongst you are the people who are better or beneficial for other people. So in this life, it should be beneficial for other people. And you know, if you read Quran and you read their tajumah tafsir, you will be astonished if you reflect on that there are so many commandments regarding huquq-ul ibad. They are the human rights charter. Basically, all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained in Quran are for other people, that you should not be a source of pain or any sort of difficulty or whatever for other people. So you should be a good human being, that from your aapki zaat se kisi ko nuksan na pahunche. Right. And whatever, in whatever business you are, earning profit is your right, because you are doing that when you have invested in that. I mean, even in Islam, that is jais. Bay mean farid o furukht. We are selling our services. We are selling our, not commodities, but we are selling services. And which service? Behind which there is 30 years of experience, 30 years of hard work, and day in and day out of reading, studying, and going through examinations and pain and everything. So I think if we are earning in your profession, that is right. And everybody accepts that. And that is absolutely halal.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Alam, for sharing your insight and experiences with us. I am sure the audience will love hearing all of this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.